A doctor who's treating Ebola right now in Sierra Leone is Oliver Johnson.
I'm a British doctor working for King's Health Partners in London and been out here for about a year and a half, leading a project to try and strengthen the health system over the long term. So strengthen the hospital, strengthen the medical school and work with the minister. So when we came out here, we were imagining we were going to be doing quite laid back capacity building work and have suddenly found ourselves in March in the epicenter of this this global outbreak of Ebola.
Take me back a little to those rather happier days when you weren't dealing with Ebola. What was it like? Tell me about the area you're in and who you're serving.
Our hospital work is based at Connaught Hospital, which is the main referral hospital in Freetown. It's a big old colonial hospital for the country. And so it's got about 300 beds. It's nicely laid out with gardens. It's got a lot of staff, but not a lot of senior staff. And bits of it have become a little bit run down over the years. And there's definitely been sometimes the need to renovate facilities and particularly try and rebuild the clinical systems in the hospital. So after the war, a lot of people, senior staff, had died or fled. And it's still really part of the recovery since the war of kind of rebuilding the structures of a hospital, the senior management team, the senior staff.
When did you personally first hear that Ebola was in your midst?
We had heard already about the cases in Guinea, and the ministry responded very quickly. There had been an outbreak of cholera here previously, which the ministry had experienced. And so it was at the ready to respond quickly by pulling together a national task force to start planning for the possibility that Ebola cases would come. But it was over a weekend in late May that we first heard of cases that had emerged. And it was at that point that we really had to shift up a gear in our response.
What did you do?
We'd already started setting up isolation rooms. So what we wanted to have in place was that if a patient was suspected, we'd be immediately able to isolate them and make sure that they were safely contained. We could give them specialist care, get lab samples. We'd also work to make sure we had the right sort of guidelines and training so that everyone in the hospital knew how to identify Ebola. They knew how to provide treatment and where, in particular, where the safe protective gear, the gowns and the gloves and the masks you see on TV.
And how much Ebola is in your area now?
Most of the cases in Sierra Leone have been in the east of the country, near the border with Guinea and Liberia. There's a cluster of cases across those three countries in one area. So for a long time, for the first month or so, the cases were largely contained there. But it was about a month ago that we first started seeing a small number of cases in Freetown, mostly people from those areas, affected areas, that were sick and had travelled into Freetown. And so we've still only seen a small cluster of cases in Freetown and are really watching very carefully at the moment to see those isolated cases, have they been successfully contained? And have we avoided spread to the relatives and the family members and the health workers that saw them? Or are we starting to see a number of cases emerge in Freetown? And that's a question not just for Freetown, but many of the districts in Sierra Leone that have seen perhaps three or four confirmed cases. And we're now watching closely and following up on family members to make sure that that doesn't spread further.
Tell me about the people you treated.
We've had about six confirmed cases in Connaught. But of course, it's not obvious when a patient walks through the door that they have Ebola. Ebola can mimic other diseases. The symptoms are things like fever, diarrhea and vomiting, headaches. This can look like malaria or just a gastrointestinal disease or like tuberculosis with a cough. So it's hard to tell immediately. And so all we can do is isolate patients, provide them with care and get a lab result sent. But it's a really difficult lab test to do. And there's a very small number of labs that can do it. So inevitably, it takes a few days to find out. So we've been treating those suspected cases in the isolation ward while we wait for results. And then when they're positive, then we refer them up to one of the two treatment centres. Or if they're negative, we discharge them back onto the wards for normal care. And when they are isolated, we're working with some heroic colleagues here at Connaught to get dressed up safely, to decontaminate areas and to provide good supportive treatment to all of the patients we have.
We've learned in recent months that the earlier the treatment, the better the chance. Have you been able to save people?
Absolutely. There have been over 130 people who were confirmed with Ebola, but who have now been successfully discharged as Ebola-free. And so I think that's a very positive message that we can send to people is that if you present early to a health facility, we've got supportive treatments that we can give you that substantially increase your chances of survival. And getting that message across is critical.
Persuading people that you can help, persuading them that they shouldn't be suspicious of the medicine, we've heard, can be tricky.
That's absolutely right. And I think from the earliest days, There was a challenge for the ministry in convincing the public that this new, quite extraordinary sounding disease with these horrible symptoms and bad outcomes was a real disease that they should, and in trying to explain to people what it was, because of course in Sierra Leone, there are a lot of traditional cultural beliefs about health, particularly in the rural areas which have been hardest hit from Ebola. And there can also be still some kind of lingering suspicion of government or other groups. And so when people start hearing this disease, there are all sorts of rumors around the country. Was this an attempt to isolate certain tribal groups or factions? Was it about the government trying to get money from donors? There are all sorts of unfounded rumors. And so there's been a real effort that the government's been driving through the media, through community health volunteers going house to house to inform people that they can trust the government and the health workers, what the symptoms are and what they can do to stay safe. And I think since the president declared a state of emergency last week, there has been a shift in tone, certainly in Freetown. I think people are now truly accepting the significance of this outbreak. People are now beginning to trust in the system more, and we're seeing less resistance from the public around becoming isolated, particularly as these good news stories of the 130 or more people who have recovered, they're beginning to tell their story. And I think that's a really important part of controlling this outbreak, and I hope we're at that turning point now.
How quickly, in your experience, can Ebola kill?
So what we've seen is a whole range of different responses that different people have had to when they contract Ebola. But I think some people have declined very quickly, and it can be surprising that people can walk into the hospital with Ebola and then a couple of days later very quickly decline. And I think as a doctor, especially the doctor from King's in the UK, I'm used to seeing sick patients being either quite old or sick patients being people who've had very serious long-term diseases. So if they're young, it's most likely because they've had a cancer or HIV or another disease that makes them look often quite unwell with a chronic disease. These patients often look like they've just come in from the football pitch. They're young, they look fit, but very quickly they come in and they become unwell, often a bit agitated, and then they can pass away. And so I think that's been the surprise for us, is just how healthy some of the people are who have been affected. And I was struck, I was having dinner yesterday with a few Sierra Leonean friends, and they were saying, this is what's so unusual. We faced challenges before in Sierra Leone. We faced the war, the civil war, which was a challenge for the nation. But what's different about this is this doesn't spare anybody.
We've read of bodies being abandoned in the streets because the deceased's families don't want to be quarantined.
I think there's been a slight increase, as some families have been concerned that if a relative's died, that they might be quarantined and other things. But I wouldn't say that I'd seen a lot of that myself, especially as a lot of the bodies are going to be taken by the burial teams directly and not come via Connaught. So there definitely have been cases of bodies being found on the streets. And obviously for us, they're a concern because the bodies are still infectious. In fact, they're very infectious. You're most infectious at the end of your illness. And so making sure that the burial teams have the right protective gear and that they are being buried safely, which sometimes means not observing all of the traditional practices around washing bodies, with senior family members washing the body, which is very dangerous. That's been something we've had to take very seriously to make sure there's no transmission.
You used the word heroic earlier to describe your colleagues.
I think what we've seen is colleagues from the international community, but mostly colleagues from Sierra Leone who have stepped up to this. And I can think of Sister Cecilia, the nurse in charge of our isolation unit, or Dr. Madupe Cole, the doctor, right down to Mohammed, our security guard, Abdul, our cleaner, who on small salaries and with a challenging daily life already are stepping up, stepping forwards every day despite family members and relatives saying, don't do it, don't go in there, it's dangerous. They are stepping forwards and they're saying, now is our time. Sierra Leone is facing a crisis and we're going to do our bit. It's less of a big deal perhaps for us to go in, but for local staff members to go in, it shows an enormous heroicism and determination. And I think that Sierra Leone should be proud of those health workers who have gone in.
You have some idea of what the best case scenario is for Ebola in West Africa and the rest of the world, and you'll have some idea of what the worst case scenario is. Where do you think we're going with this?
I think at the moment it's still hard to give a confident answer. I think what we've seen in the eastern parts of this country is a bit of a worst-case scenario. We've seen a lot of villages affected, a lot of cases in Kainan and Kenema, and that's been enormously challenging. I think the real question is, with the small number of cases in Freetown and elsewhere, have we successfully contained